Alice Adams has written about friendship, love, and marriage in her novels such as Listening to Billy, Rich Rewards, and the bestseller Superior Women. In her new novel, Second Chances, she continues those themes, but from the perspective of men and women in their 60s and 70s. Adams just entered her 60s. I asked her if by writing this book she was preparing herself for getting older.
You know, let's face it, 60 is not middle-aged. I do not know a lot of people who are 120. So I began to think, you know, what will over 60 be like? And I began to think about that, and at the same time, in a rather conscious way, to watch people I knew who were in that age group called OLD.
Well, is OLD something that scares you, or is it something that you want to make sure you can make as interesting as being younger has been?
I would sure like it to be a lot less strenuous than being younger has been. No, it doesn't scare me. At this point, it really doesn't. I'm interested in it.
Did you have to reach a certain age before you felt that you could really write with authority and convincingly about older people?
Well, of course I did, but really, perhaps more important, I wasn't even remotely interested in older people when I was 20, 30, even 40. I was so desperately concerned with myself and my own age and my contemporaries.
At this point, I think I'd like for you to read an excerpt from your new novel. And we've already picked out the excerpt, but I'm going to ask you to just set it up a little bit. And this is an excerpt from Alice Adams' new novel, Second Chances.
Okay, the novel begins with two very old friends. They've been friends all their lives, a woman named Dudley and a man named Edward. And it's New Year's Day, 1985, and they're taking a walk in the hills south of San Francisco. And it's pretty cold, and they're a little breathless. But they're big talkers. They always have been. At that moment, Dudley is struck by a new thought that she is unable not to communicate to Edward. "Have you noticed how prudish we are about diseases, all of us?" she asks him. "Especially cancer. It's sort of the way we were about sex a long time ago. Something not quite to be mentioned. Something very much involving our bodies, causing a lot of secret speculation." By way of response, Edward frowns, so that Dudley worries again about his cough. Could she possibly have said precisely the wrong thing? Can Edward have? Almost instantly, though, he reassures her. "Well, if you feel the same positive terror that I do every time I go in for an examination, I don't mind telling you. Well, really, it's no wonder that we're prudish. I can't tell you the relief just last week." But he looks very glum, and Dudley decides that she has indeed said a wrong thing. Besides, she and Edward have never in their 50-odd years of friendship had a talk about sex. How could they? No more than they could discuss cancer.
It's such an interesting realization that people are becoming, at that age, as prudish in talking about diseases, or especially cancer, as they once were in discussing sex. And I'd love to hear, what made you think about that comparison?
I have no idea. It's one of those things that plunked itself into my alleged mind. But it seemed, you know, it's one of those thoughts that come and you think, ah, that's right.
You know, one thing I find very moving about this book is that as these characters are getting older and facing their own mortality, younger people they know are dying of AIDS, of accidental death.
Yes. Well, I'm afraid that's my perception of how things are.
It's very upsetting.
Deeply, extremely. I had a very moving conversation the other day with a friend whose son had died of AIDS, and one of the things that he said was that of the wrongness of it. He said, "You know, I was supposed, you know, he was supposed to outlive me."
Well, it's become so frightening seeing so many people dying of AIDS. You start to
it's hard, yeah.
And it puts age and dying of AIDS into a totally different perspective too.
Does, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, I would think that I hope that these survivors at the end of this particular book have a certain sense of their luck, simply in that there they are together and they're for the most part okay.
In a way, I think it kind of gives them courage to change, and to not see themselves as having to remain exactly the same just because they're old.
Well, I hadn't thought about it quite that way, but I hope that's true. Yeah.
What kinds of women interest you? As characters in fiction, in your fiction?
Well, it depends what it, I that's awfully hard to say in a general way. It entirely depends what I'm writing. While I was writing Second Chances, older women interested me. At the moment, the novel that I'm now writing concerns mainly a woman who has five daughters, so I'm interested in that as a phenomenon. I read once an interview with Muriel Spark in which she said that in the curious way that life has of imitating one's art, whenever she was writing a book, somehow the life that she needed floated towards her, and I've rather found that. She said, for instance, and this was striking, that when she was writing a book called The Bachelors, everyone she met turned out to be a bachelor. I can think of a lot of people who would envy that.
So when you were writing your new book, you met a lot of older women?
That's right. That's exactly, yes.
Was this just serendipity?
Absolutely. Yes, that's the whole point.
I don't know. You think maybe you leave yourself open more to that kind of experience when you're writing?
I don't know. I think it's a rather strange and mysterious thing. I mean, there's a quality of prescience, I think, about writing fiction.
You wrote your first book in 1966, at least it was published in 1966. Then your next book is published in 1974. What happened in between in those intervening years? What happened with your writing?
I was writing short stories. I think I was quite discouraged by various things that happened, or rather didn't happen, around that first book. For one thing, it had such a terrible title. It was called Against My Will, Careless Love. Everything about that seemed discouraging. So for all those years, I really was working very hard trying to learn to write short stories.
What did you hate so much about the title, Careless Love?
I thought it was embarrassing and inappropriate. It sounded sort of, little sleazy.
You weren't allowed to use your own title in the book?
Well, I didn't have good sense at the time. My editor said I can't publish a book called The Fall of Daisy Duke, which was my title, by someone named Alice Adams. I mean, to me, the two names are entirely unlike. However, he prevailed. If I'd been, I mean, now I would say, don't be silly. That's my title.
But you have no authority when you're a young writer and you're desperate to get published.
Well, obviously, I had a lot more than I knew I did, as usual.
Well, that's interesting, as usual.
But anyway, it was published in England as The Fall of Daisy Duke and did a great deal better there.
Mm-hmm. You were in your 40s when you started to establish yourself as a writer, yes?
Well, let's say in 1966, I was just 40. Is that right? Yes.
So that's when your first book was published.
You
were 40. Did that affect your self-image as a writer? Because for years, you were someone who probably wanted to be a writer and was writing a lot at home, but wasn't seeing much of it in
print.
Well,
that's right. It's hard. I mean, you feel like an idiot saying that you're a writer when you're not published.
Since you had such a hard time getting established, and since success came a little later in life than it does for many writers to get published when, you know, those writers lucky enough to get published when they're really young, have you taken an interest in young writers trying to make it?
Yes, I have. I've taught several times. I taught at Davis and at Berkeley and at Stanford, and each time I had, very, very rewarding relationships with younger writers, although I must say that possibly my most rewarding experience as a teacher was with someone who at that time was 74, I think, anyway, a marvelous writer who was in my class at Stanford, Harriet Dorr. I don't know if you read Stone's for Ibarra, but it's just an exceptionally good novel, which, you know, and this was Harriet's first novel, which was published when she was, I think, 75.
Huh.
So it's not only young writers I'm interested in encouraging.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, because you weren't a young writer in that sense when you started really, you know, blossoming and getting noticed.
But that's right.
That's an interesting thing to pay attention to.
Well, I think so. One of the good things about writing is that you can sort of start at any age.
Well, I want to thank you so very much for talking with us about your life and your writing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Alice Adams' new novel, Second Chances, is published by Knopf. She lives in San Francisco. This is Fresh Air.